Hello everybody, this week's Parsha is Parsha's Tazria, and the Parsha opens with the halachas of a woman when she gives birth to a child, and the laws of Tumah that are relevant in that stage. And Rashi brings a medrash that says, Amar Rav Simlai, Kishem sheyitzirasei shel Adam, just as man's creation is achar kol behemah v'chaya v'if. Man was created after all the animals and all the birds, like we find in creation, man was created on the sixth day. So too, kach toirasei, so are his laws, in his parsha were explained, achar toiras behemah chaya v'if, after the laws of behemah chaya v'if. Rashi means to say that we found in the end of last week's parsha, all the laws of which animals are kosher, which ones are not kosher, the fish, the insects. And now we get to man. Man's last, seemingly, in all of this. And says Rashi, it's because this follows the same order that they had during creation. Man was created last, and so too are his laws are said last. And all the commentaries ask on this medrash that seemingly the two things are very disconnected. The reason man was created last, the Gemara discusses in Sanhedrin Alam and Chesam Abayis, the Gemara gives three reasons why man was created last. One hand, the Gemara says because Hashem wanted him to be created right before Shabbos, so he can have a mitzvah of Shabbos right away. Another reason the Gemara gives is so man should be humble, so a man shouldn't get full of himself. He should say, look, even a mosquito was made before you. The Gemara gives a third reason, and he should already have everything prepared for him. God's inviting someone to a meal. You don't invite him and then start bringing in the cooks. First you cook the meal, then you give it to him. But whatever it may be, whatever these three reasons, but the point is, there was a specific reason why he had to be created last. What does that have to do with the halachos? What is the kishem? What is the connection between the two things? And the Maharal and the Das Torah, they explain as follows. We think that there's two things in life. There's creation, there's people, there's animals, there's this, there's that. And then there's halachas, and they're kind of disconnected. The Medrash is teaching us it's not true. The final, the completion, the full creation of something is when it's Torah, its laws, its purpose. That's when it's fully created. The ending or the culmination, the climax of creation is now. When the Torah lays down the purpose, the laws, the ways that it can be used properly, that's the fullest creation of animals, and that's the fullest creation of human beings. When a person gets his Torah, and a person gets his laws, his halakhas, his ability to connect to Hashem, that's his fullest creation. And therefore, it follows exactly the same order, because it all is creation of man. And we have to recognize that when we learn halakha, when we learn Torah, when we learn Musar, this isn't, okay, look, there's a human being here, let's try to figure out what to do with him. No, this is what we were made for from the beginning. This is our creation, this is our purpose. And the more we can incorporate that into our day-to-day life, the more we can appreciate and connect to the Torah that we have. A guy, he has a toothache. So, he has to find a dentist. And we all know there's different types of dentists. I remember when I was in Israel, someone sent me to an old-style, real Israeli dentist. And come in there, get their big, nasty, old-looking metal syringes for the shots. It was a painful procedure, to say the least. And there are the newfangled, fancy dentists where everything's smooth, clean, doesn't hurt. And the best dentists are the ones, obviously, who make the process as easy and painless as possible. Now, what if a guy has a toothache and he decides, I'm going to get the best dentist. He does his research, he finds the best dentist. This guy is known to make everything smooth and painless. And he calls him up, makes an appointment, he comes in there. Dentist looks at his cavity and dentist's like, this is going to be painful. And he starts giving him shots to numb the area. He starts revving up that big saw, getting that drill to get into that tooth over there. He starts doing x-rays. When the best dentist tells you, this is going to be messy and this is going to hurt, you know that you have a bad issue going on. Hashem is the best dentist, okay? He can do things as quickly, easily, as painless as possible. And yet, when a Metzora speaks Lashon Hara, does all the other Averis that bring about Tzaras, and Hashem wants to purify him. Hashem tells him, I'm sorry, this is going to be a painful process. You're going to have to be locked up for a week. You're going to have to wait till it gets down. Then we're going to have to shave your whole body. We're going to have to bring you to the Beis HaMikdash. You're going to have to bring your carbon. It's a painful, painful, long process. What that tells us is, what that shows us, is that there's a real, deep-rooted, serious issue going on in this person. If this is what it takes to get it out, that means that the rot has set in real deep. And the problem is that we don't always notice it. And in times of the Chazal, in times of the Pesukim, Hashem gave us a gift. He let us see the rot. He let us give us signs of what's going on below. Nowadays, unfortunately, we're not on that level. We don't see our spiritual, so to speak, health in a physical manifestation. But from the seeing in the Torah what it does to a person and how complicated it is to get it out of us, it should give us the appreciation, the recognition of what it means when a person speaks Lashon Hara, what it means when a person starts making fights amongst other people, how deep that rot and how deep that destruction sets in, and hopefully we'll think twice before we ever do such a thing again. The pasuk says, Adam ki yiyeh ba'ar b'sari, when a man, when he has in his skin a negat tzaras, an affliction of tzaras. Says a Torah, he has to go to the Kohen, he has to go to Aaron HaKohen or one of his sons, and they will kind of decide if it's tamei or not and begin the process of healing. And the Alshech asks two questions. Number one, why is the Torah referred to when a person, when it talks about tzaras, as Adam? Usually we say Ish, something that's similar. Why Adam? It's a strange language. And number two, the question everyone asks, why specifically Aaron or a Kehanim? Usually you have a halacha question, you go to a Rav. Here it has a halacha that it has to be specifically from Aaron or his children. Anybody else can't paskin a shayla. It has to be a Kohen. Why? So I saw a pshat in the Apirion, who's the author of the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. He wrote a sefer on Chumash. He says a beautiful explanation. He says, the Mishnah tells us that tzaras, the affliction of tzaras, is only tamei. It only makes halacha, it only has halacha ramifications if it's in a Jew. If it's in Israel, if a non-Jew has tzaras, okay, he has to go to the doctor, but there's no tumah associated with it. And the question is why? If a non-Jew got tzaras, it means he probably spoke Lashon Hara, so he should also become tamei. Why is only a Jew who speaks Lashon Hara is his tzaras tamei and not a non-Jew's? So the pasuk tells us because tzaras is an issue by Adam. What does Adam mean? Adam, says the Gemara in Yevamos, applies to a person who can be seen as a part, an entire group which can be seen as one. The word ish, man, has a plural form. It could be anashim, it could be ishim. There's no word adamim, multiple adams. Adam is one. There's one adam. Klal Yisrael can be called as a group adam. Adam atem. The Navi says Klal Yisrael can be called adam. Even the entire group of Klal Yisrael could be one. The Torah tells us tzaras is an issue by adam. Tzaras creates problems by a group which can be connected and made one. Tzaras, the speaking Lashon Hara, the making fights, all that is an issue when you have a cohesive achdus, so to speak, a cohesive group of people who can be seen as one. Because when you speak Lashon Hara, you break that apart by the nations of the world. Each one does his own thing. There's no Adam there. Therefore, tzaras isn't tamei. The problem with Lashon Hara that tzaras is coming to bring out is this breaking up of the Adam, of the oneness of Klal Yisrael. And that, says the Apirion, is why only Aaron's children can fix it. Because Aaron, we know, was the Ayiv Shalom, the Roidiv Shalom. We know that when Aaron died, the whole Jewish nation cried and cried and cried because everyone loved Aaron, because Aaron brought peace amongst everyone. The person who breaks apart other people, the person who speaks Lashon Hara and brings Machlokes, if he wants to be cured, he has to hang out with Aaron. He has to learn from Aaron, he has to change. And then he can become back to become part of the proper Adam of Klal Yisrael. And we have to think about it. Whenever we say something, whenever we think about something, are we making Klal Yisrael one? Or are we breaking it apart? Are we making it more of an Adam? Or are we taking away that Adam of Klal Yisrael? I remember at the funeral, my wife's grandfather, Cheskel Schrager Streicher. So one of his sons-in-law, he said over that they were sitting by the table and one of his kids, you know, one of the grandkids was saying something, and apparently it wasn't necessarily called Lashon Hara, or something, it wasn't so nice. And my wife's grandfather, he stopped, looked at him, and said, this doesn't bring to shalom. This does not bring to peace. That's it. There's one benchmark. Does it bring about peace? Does it not bring about peace? If it doesn't bring about peace, don't say it. And I think it's a beautiful way of looking at life. You have to be focused. Am I bringing Klal Yisrael together when I say this, or am I breaking Klal Yisrael apart? Am I bringing people together? Am I making families together? Or am I making issues? And that's it. If it doesn't help, don't say it. The Parsha tells us that when the Metzora is in his quarantine state, when he has to be sent out of his house, out of the camp, it says, Bodad Yeshiv, he has to dwell alone. Meaning not only can he be at home, he can't even be around other Metzoras, other people who are Tamei. And the question is, why not? We never find other Tamei people that they have a halacha, they have to be in isolation. They can't be next to someone who's Torah because they'll make him Tamei as well. But why does the Metzora specifically have to be Bodad, in isolation? So Rashi brings the Gemara that it's Mida Kenega Mida, so to speak, tip for tat. He broke people apart. He caused people to be stuck by themselves and be lonely because they broke up from their friends because of Lashon Hara that he said about them. So now he has to be kind of go through that same experience and sit by himself and be in isolation. But I heard a beautiful pshat takes a little different spin. There was once a fortune epidemic in a certain town of Magefa, and one of the townspeople came to Rishon Salanter and he said to him, "I know why Hashem is bringing this Magefa on our town. It's because people are doing this and people are doing that." And this guy had a good list of all the problems in the town, all the issues that had to be fixed, and then the Magefa would go away. So Rishon Salanter said, "You know, I was wondering about this pasuk. Why is it a mitzrayah has to be by himself and he can't be with other people who have tzaras? Why can't you have a special minyan for people who are mitzrayah?" He said, "You know what the issue is? Because the mitzrayah, how do he get his tzaras? Because he speaks Lashon Hara. What does that mean? It means he can find all the issues with everybody else. He looks at a guy, he can tell her that he's a faker, he's a this, he's a that. The Baal Lashon Hara, he is the king at finding everyone else's issues. So you take a bunch of guys who have tzaras, put them in a minyan. They will know exactly why everyone else there has tzaras. They will know every issue with everybody else. But they're never going to take the time to stop and think about their own issue, about their own tzaras, why they got it." Says the Torah, they got to go in isolation. Don't see anybody else. Just focus on yourself. They say that during the War of Independence, in Israel, so unfortunately it's a very bloody war, a lot of Jews were dying, and someone came into the Brisker Rav and he told him that he thinks that the reason why there's so many Jews dying is because there's so much Chilul Shabbos in the new Medina, in the new state, and Hashem is kind of punishing us for that. Brisker Rav told him, "You know, there's a big tzaddik out there, his name was Yoina HaNavi. Yoina was on a ship, and the ship was experiencing turbulence, so to speak. There was a stormy sea, the ship was about to sink, and Yoina was the only firm person on that boat. There was a bunch of goyim there who served the Avodah Zarah, who did who knows else what. And, you know, if you had to pick whose fault it is, I wouldn't pick Yoina. He's the one with the long beard, he's the tzaddik. And yet, who does Yoina say to throw into the sea? So uni v'taluni, says Yoina. Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and then everything will be fine." Why? Because that's what tzaddikim do. Tzaddikim don't stop when second there's an issue and start looking at everyone else's problems and pointing it out because of them. Tzaddikim look inside and figure out, what does Hashem want from me?